Blog Talk Radio.
Life, love, and wellness.
Every Tuesday, man, it's like a little kid opening presents on Christmas morning, because I have the best guests in the world that agree to come on and share their knowledge and their wisdom with you, and tonight is no different, and I'm so excited to have this young man joining us this evening. But before I get to him, there's a couple of things that we need to do to make sure we're in order, right? So the very first thing that we do every Tuesday night particularly, and hopefully more often than that, is that we give thanks to our ancestors. We just did a major, major ancestor recognition and honoring this past weekend at Hillside International Truth Center. It was just absolutely amazing. But as we call upon the energy of our ancestors, we get to feel them, you know, because we're a part of them, right? And so it's just a very good practice, if you don't do it already, to do that. Just call their names. That activates their power, their DNA in you. So, ancestors, we just appreciate you. We stand on your shoulders for strength and courage and tenacity. We trust that you got our backs, our fronts, our tops, and our bottoms. And for that, we love you. We love you today, and we love you forever. Ashe, ashe. Next thing we do is to anchor ourselves in affirmative reading, and it comes from words that I have actually coined at my website, revsandy.wordpress.com. And this message today, because look, you guys, it's the first day of March. Ooh-wee. So March 1st, a month of manifesting. Let this month, the third of the year, be about manifesting your dreams and your desires. What is it that you have been procrastinating to finally accomplish? Pray and meditate on your idea, your goals, and your dreams. Visualize the end product. Put your total concentration on your idea. Think about it all the time. Improve upon it. Can it serve more people than what you originally thought? We are destined to fulfill our purpose here on earth. It is our thought process that will determine our successful completion. Give your best attention to the outcome. Know deep within that it is already done, and move forward from that place. We are perfectly positioned to make real our purpose in this life. Go ahead. Let's begin manifesting abundant life here on earth. manifest your miracles today. And again, that's at RevSandy.wordpress.com. So it's all about life. It's all about love, and it's all about wellness. So tonight's show is called Uncovering the Reasons Behind Our Pains. And we're featuring a very special friend of mine, Reggie Smith, and I'm going to do a little bit more on an introduction of him when we return from our music break. But I did want to let you audience know that you're invited to join in the discussion, and we welcome all comments. And our intention here is that every voice that want to be heard is heard. Our call-in number at the show is 516-531-9819, and you would just simply press 1 on your dial to let us know you want to speak live on air with us. Now, in order to maintain the best listening quality as possible, because we have quite a few individuals that listen to the replays of the show, if you would just mute your phone when you're not speaking after your line has been open, that would give us the best quality, because believe it or not, the microphones are extremely sensitive on this radio system, and it picks up all the slightest little noises in the background. And if you ever want to listen to any of the replays or all of the replays, you can do that by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Sandy Rogers, and that's spelled SandyRodgers. So you're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. We're going to take a quick music break, and when we come back, I'm going to introduce my friend to you, Mr. Reggie Smith. And we're going to get started with what he has to share with us tonight. We'll be right back.
You're just smiling, it's morning, all of your love is wishing you well, your tears seem to swell, so make yours a happy home,
make yours a happy home.
I got a happy crowd, all
you
make yours.
Hey, now, that was Gladys Knight and the Pips. They were saying, make yours a happy home. And, you know, a home could just be you by yourself. It don't have to be with somebody else. Just make it happy. Make it happy. All right, then. Welcome back to Life, Love, and Wellness with Sandy Rogers Show. Thank you so much for joining us. If you have a comment where you would like to speak live on air with us, please do so at 516-531-9819. And push 1 on the dial to let us know you want to speak live on air with us. So it is my honor to return our speaker. Our speaker is a returning guest is what I was trying to say. You know, I'm trying to slow down because I'm so excited he's with us. The name of his discussion tonight is Uncovering the Reasons Behind Our Pains, and is none other than my dear friend Reggie Smith. Our esteemed guest tonight is no stranger to the spotlight when it comes to being an activist or an advocate for our wellness. Mr. Reggie Smith serves the world by founding his signature program, WAR, Wellness, Awareness, Recovery. He is forever on the battlefield teaching and sharing from his learned lessons, massive knowledge of the workings of the human body temple. He has taught on addiction recovery, living with HIV and AIDS, and other vital topics that have a tremendous impact on our communities. Tonight, he's going to share about a device which detects and helps the body to heal itself from all types of diseases naturally with sound frequencies attuned to your body. It comes as a military-grade phone that has protection installed to protect you from the EMF rays, including the infamous 5G. Oh, I'm so proud to bring to the microphone. Look, he's been a guest before. He was a part of the historic 2018 Life, Love, and Wellness Global, a worldwide wellness webinar. And he's forever, always thinking, expanding, wanting to increase his knowledge and to share that knowledge with those around him so that people are learning for themselves how to get better. So I'm going to shut up and let Mr. Reggie come to the mic. Thank you, Reggie, for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me, Sandy. I'm looking around to see who it is that you are talking about. And the only person that I know that actually fits that description is you.
Oh, you're so kind.
I know. I'm very much excited to be here. Thank you for having me. And I'm energized anytime I'm in your presence because I'm awed by all that you have been in the universe. And, you know, I'm just happy to be running on a parallel track here in the same little corner of the world that we live in.
Yes, indeed. So, indeed, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, awesome.
So, yeah.
So, can you, will you, not can you, but will you tell the audience how, like a little bit of your background, how you got started in this world of wellness? You know, what motivated you, what prompted you to just branch out and start learning as much as you've accomplished in knowledge?
Well, I would like to say that it was something that I, you know, felt when I was young, you know, that I wanted to, you know, maybe be a doctor, that I wanted to heal people, or that I, but that's not the case. Actually, I'm from the south side of Jamaica, Queens, and it's a, you know, it was a middle class neighborhood, but it was also, you know, a lot. It was littered with drug abuse, with violence and crime and despair, and so even though I had a lot of great role models and a lot of opportunities, those things didn't change the lives of many of the people that I came up with. And you know, during the 60s and the 70s, you know, I'd like to say that back then the world was filled with racism in that area, but, you know, that's still continuing. So, you know, I come from a family of four. I had a mother and a father. That was it all. My father was a police officer. My mother was a hairstylist. You know, I'm an athlete by nature. I played basketball, baseball, could have played football, but didn't like to get hit. So I was pretty good at it. I had the gift of being able to jump very high. So I got, you know, the team that I played with, we won a lot. So we gained some notoriety in the neighborhood. And therefore, I did not have to be in a game because people respected us for our athletic abilities. But, you know, none of those things made me immune to what was going on around me. And even though I got skipped in the second grade, graduated high school when I was 16. But, you know, I just never really felt comfortable in a world that, as a young black man, you know, watching during the 60s and the 70s, all of the assassinations and the fight for civil rights and, you know, all, even the, on a personal level, you know, the things that we had to deal with just to get by, getting bussed out of our neighborhoods to go to schools, you know, the race riots and things of that nature. It was just a mess. And so, you know, what I did was I didn't, you know, I know they wanted to medicate me because I was depressed, but I chose to medicate myself. And at first it was weed, marijuana, which worked out pretty well, you know, and me laughing and having a good time. But, you know, that only lasted for a while. And ultimately, even though I was able to resist as a result of my image and my desires and just my upbringing, I was able to resist hard drugs for a long period of time. But, you know, I finally got introduced. I introduced myself to heroin and cocaine in my college years. And, you know, I'd like to say that, you know, getting high was my attempt to escape this planet. And, you know, it worked. But after a while, the fare got to be too expensive to take the trip. And the amount of degradation and shame and guilt that I brought on myself and my family just was overwhelming. And, you know, I knew that I was too intelligent, as far as I was concerned, too smart to have gotten caught up like that. And so I was kind of suicidal. I don't think there's probably kind of suicidal. I was suicidal. You know, even though when you're using hard drugs like that, that is a level of suicide tendencies. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, overtly, I'd just rather not be on the planet as opposed to, you know, having to keep going through the cycle of active addiction and all of the things that that comes with it. So, but, you know, to make that part of the story, you know, is important because it got me to where I am today. And it's not the longest part because I was able to, through God's grace, get clean in 1985 after plenty of trials and tribulations. You know, that was a beautiful thing. That was a life-changing event. That changed everything. When I found out that there was a possibility that I could find a way to live and find peace of mind without the use of substances, that was an epiphany. And it was, yeah. It was the most simplest thing, but I just didn't know it. I didn't know it. And so that was really very enlightening. So I wondered about what else I didn't know, and I was struck by how many other people in my neighborhood didn't know. It was an escape hatch that no one really knew about or that no one was interested in because we were so caught up in the lifestyle that we were living. So, uh-huh. So yeah, so in 85 that started to change things, and I started changing my behavior, my attitude, my way of thinking. You know, I met a young lady. I was, about 67 days clean, and I was working as an electrician, an apprentice electrician in New York City in a local union. And, I was going to put some money in the bank at lunchtime, and we passed about, me and a guy on the job, Anthony, we passed about 20, 30 banks on the way to 165th Street, 161st Street in Jamaica Avenue, City Bank. And it was Good Friday. And if you know anything about New York City on Good Friday, everyone had just gotten their checks and people were just bananas. and went into the bank and it was chaotic. And a young lady approached me. Come to find out later that she had told her girlfriend that I was going to be her next husband, which was totally insane. Yeah, she had me marked, but it was crazy because she was married and I was married, just coming out of a marriage, and we both had children, so it was the most improbable thing. But she asked me to sit down and that she would take care of me, because later come to find out, she said, because I was calm in the midst of the storm. And so we sat down and she started opening up my account. And, I noticed the picture on her desk. I said, hey, you got kids? And she told me, yes, me and the kids. Her name, her children's names both began with J, as did mine. And so, we said, and the next thing I know, she was telling me, I have a problem with drugs and cocaine. Can you help me? Why are you asking me this? Do I look like I'm high or something? Or do I look, like I used to get high? Is there something that says, on my face? But no. But strangely enough, I did know a place where she could go and get some information and get some help. And, I promised to come back and take her there, and I did. I took her some literature, and I took her to this place. And we started hanging out. She didn't think the place was for her in the beginning. But she kept coming, and come to find out that it was. And so here it is. We are now 37 years later, still married. So she was right.
Yay!
Yeah, it was just an amazing thing.
What a beautiful story.
Yeah. So but 3 years into that relationship, we got pregnant. And, of course, we had separated and from our previous marriages. But we got pregnant, and I had to remember that I was an IV drug user. This was back in the 80s when a lot of people were passing away from HIV and AIDS. They was just killing folks all over the place.
Right.
And so people were dying, and I just, I had forgotten all about the fact that I had been an IV drug user. I shot dope. And so I wanted to protect her and protect our newborn, So we had to go get tested for HIV. And thank God, her test came back negative. And so that meant that she and our child would be safe. But mine came back positive. Mine came back positive for AIDS and hepatitis C. Yeah. But they told me, don't worry about the hepatitis C, because that's really slow acting. It could take years before that really affects your liver. So, that was good news, I guess. But the bad news was that they said, don't worry about it, because the HIV will probably kill you in about 6 months.
Oh, geez.
So, that was not a good time. It brought a level of fear, disappointment. I mean, here I was 3 years clean. I had changed my life around, and now I was having, the best time of my life. I was in a great relationship with a woman that I love. We were raising our children, and, we had friends and loved ones, and it was just there were no medications at the time, and there was just a lot of fear and a lot of people dying in grotesque manners. And so, you know, just really had to find a way to try to stay alive. And so I started looking the world over. You know, I started looking everywhere. You know, first and foremost, I had developed a spiritual relationship, you know, with a God of my own understanding. You know, I had started practicing meditation, and so I had a foundation, you know, for life-changing experiences. But I had nothing like this. I had never faced anything like this. So, but, you know, we did the best that we could. And I started searching the world over and started attracting things. I changed some things in my own life. You know, I was smoking cigarettes prior to that, and so I stopped smoking cigarettes. And I was, like I said, practicing meditation. I changed my diet. I changed the way that I eat. So I stopped eating meat. You know, I just started.
Reggie, you still there? He will be back with us shortly. But just a fascinating story. I know you agree with me. How he and his wife, how they met, and you know, like how things have a tendency to happen to you, and so you know that story is just so faith-filled and just very happy. And so Reggie's back with us. Go right ahead, sir.
Yes. Oh, well, thank you. I'm sorry about that. So, I just did what I could to make some changes. I wanted to stick around. At this point in my life, I was no longer suicidal. I wanted to live. And so you asked the question, what was my motivation for changing my lifestyle and wanting to share the things that that were working for me with others? And that is what it is rooted in. It's rooted in my own personal experience. You know, and understanding that there was a lot of information that we did not have, that we didn't have. And there was probably a lot of things that were being withheld, or, you know, that people weren't really looking. Even, you know, so, and you know this as well as anyone, Sandy, because even today when we talk about, you know, the different herbs or different technologies, different healing modalities, you know, Reiki, and, you know, and meditation, you know, it's not, more people know about it now, but still not everyone is receptive to that kind of change. And so as you have done, and we just try to be really not, I don't want to say persistent, but be consistent about the practice. And, you know, for me, it's always been an experiment. And, you know, after a certain amount of time of implementing those lifestyle changes and you know, out living longer and you know, I went through a lot of changes. You know, I had some health challenges. But I was still having a better experience, and I'm still on the planet. And so to me, that meant that those lifestyle changes were working. And, you know, the first 14 years after the diagnosis of HIV and hep C, we didn't tell anyone. We didn't tell, you know, we didn't tell mom and them. We didn't tell the kids. We didn't tell anyone, because the stigma and the mere fact that everyone else was literally powerless. There was no medication. People were powerless to do anything about it. The best thing was to really just kind of harness that energy, you know, inside ourselves, inside myself, and you know, and just try to find, if anything, some like spirits and like souls that were on a path towards healing. And that's what we did. But after about 14 to 15 years, I was compelled. I just couldn't hold it anymore. You know, and this was, you know, I was doing radio, and, you know, was in a position to be able to at least to speak, but it just didn't seem like it was the thing to do at the time. And I had to protect my family. You know,
sure.
The stigma was just thick. My wife had a thriving, we moved from New York to Georgia in 92. My wife had a thriving hairstylist business, and she was, in the church choir. she was not, and she is HIV negative and remains that way. And so just didn't seem like it was the thing to do to put her in a position to have to explain to people, you know, about whatever ignorances they may have to try to, you know, she wasn't in a teaching mode. But after about 14 years, I was compelled, you know, this God just told me, look, you know, I'm blessing you and I need you to tell some folks, you know, that I know you're trying to show them that love is the key and that changing lifestyle, but, you know, I need you to reach out and touch some people in a different kind of way. So he inspired me, Spirit inspired me to write a book and to start sharing the story. And my first real public pronouncement was on Watch Night at the church.
Oh, wow. Okay.
On New Year's Eve, and you know what it's like, Watch Night, everybody's in the church. And so that was a life-changing experience, you know. My wife didn't want me to do it, but I was just really compelled to do it, and it caused us some friction, and the friction that it caused us made me think that we might have to break up. We might have to break up in order to protect her, because I felt that I was compelled to that level. That
okay.
You know, being alive was the gift, and I had to. You know, pay for it. So,
yeah.
But the idea of leaving her caused me a great deal of stress. And the stress got me sick, and I was so sick that I was down, I'm 6'4", and I was down to 116 pounds, so emaciated,
oh,
all my organs had shut down.
Yeah.
And the doctors told my family that if I lived another 3 days, that it would be a miracle. Although you see, my good friend Dr. William Richardson came to my bedside. I mean, he did house calls, but and just friends and loved ones from all over the world came and shared their love. They prayed for me. They prayed for the family. We prayed together. We prayed on the way in. We prayed in the midst, and we prayed on the way out. Thank God, because that's exactly what happened. We were able to come out of that, and we came out of it. It was. You know, it was a moving experience, not only for me, but for anyone who witnessed it. And, you know, I say, thankfully, we got some video of it, so it's still moving people today. Because people can't believe that the person that they see in the video is me, but it is. And I am still compelled to share and to do the best that I can, stay on planet. So I've changed my lifestyle, continue to live that way. And so I'm, speaking out, having a voice. My Dion realized that when I was sick, that she, she was there for me. She realized at that point the role that she played in this adventure. And we had been walking side by side before and even more so now. And so we ended up, we created a nonprofit organization called the Reginald and Dion Smith Foundation, and it's we're focused on providing education, advocacy, resources, and linkage to care for families affected by HIV, hepatitis, and substance use disorders. And our focus has been on wellness, awareness, and recovery, on mm-hmm. spiritual wellness, emotional, mental, physical wellness, because all of those things play a part. And then I have been searching the world over. Like I said, I've been to Africa on more than one occasion, to Mexico, to India, to many different places across the world, searching for a cure. And this is before and after medications. And I just recently wrote my latest book. It's called Resurrection, Participating in Your Own Salvation or Be Complicit in Your Own Demise. And, you know, it's just the story that about, you know, the love story, the recovery story, and the search for the cure. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, really exciting adventures that have happened along the way. And so, you know, that brings us to today. And I guess, you know, the advocacy piece and the education piece is about, you know, how can we live our best lives? You know, and there are, you know, a number of different healing modalities. And, you know, I know you asked me to come on and talk about the AO scan, which is one of them. And it's, you know, I actually was one of the people that I'm sure that was at the event that you spoke about at the church was Dr. Mark Armstrong.
Correct.
And Dr. Mark and I, you know, he's, you know, just an amazing person, and he does so much there at his office. And years ago, I met him years ago looking for healing solutions, and we ran across something called a Rife Light, Dr. Royal Raymond Rife, which is, he's probably a lot like Einstein and Tesla, and they work in the energetic realm, because everything on this planet, everything in the universe, is about energy. And so I just became extremely intrigued. It's serendipitous that I had become an electrician in earlier part of my life. Just to, you know, now be introduced to the different ways that energy is important to our beings, you know, be it to our auric fields and how they operate. And so the AO scan is a digital body analyzer, and it's a combination of technology that comes from Russia, from Germany, Spain, Asia, and the United States. And most of the technology is based on the works of Tesla, Nikola Tesla, and the Royal Raymond Rife, Dr. Royal Raymond Rife, and Albert Einstein and others, because they realize that everything physical at its most fundamental level is actually energy frequency. And so they created they identified specific frequencies in the human body, and they identified and amassed a database of more than 120,000 different frequencies.
Wow.
That are in every person. All these frequencies are the same in every person. So they were able to create a baseline of what quote-unquote normal frequencies look like. And what they found is that, you know, in the health of an organ or tissue or system or a cell structure within the body, it can be determined, the health of it can be determined by passing microcurrent frequencies through the body and measuring the current's resistance. So it's like you bounce those frequencies off the different organs of the body, the different systems of the body, and you can measure, you know, what their structure is. I try to stay away from the, you know, it's not a healing, it's an analyzer. And you really can't say that it's not a healing tool, but it definitely can analyze, and then it actually does, can be, you know, those frequencies can be influenced, and the device seems to have the ability to do that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So it's been all a part of the adventure. I'm sitting here right now. I'm running it because, you know, it's like there's So it's a tool that can be used remotely because our energies are all a part of the universe. And so we can actually be identified remotely by certain markers, our name, you know, it could be our email address, you know. Those things allow the device to identify us in the Akashic records, and then, you know, we're able to actually make it can optimize those frequencies and provide an environment that is conducive to wellness. And so the body, of course, has the ability to heal itself if we provide it with the environment to do so and give it what it needs, and the nutrients and things of that nature. So, yeah, it's been quite an adventure, and I'm glad to. It's non-invasive, and so, you know, it wasn't a hard call to give the shot, and it, you know, it really is about raising our frequencies, and especially, you know, just talking to some friends earlier tonight, and with all that is going on in the world. You know, it is almost, it can be really discouraging. And it always has been. Like I said, that's the reason why I got high in the first place. And I'm not about to do that now. So, you know, what do we do? You know, so
right.
Now they're creating all of the laws, the man, is, you know, they create, you know, I heard on the news that they are passing a law, if they haven't already, that would make it legal for anyone and everyone to carry a gun, whether you have a license or not.
Wow.
Like, you know, and I'm watching the news, and then you see these shootings that are happening, random shootings, because people have been cooped up for years. So
yeah.
The mental health is off. You know, it was not like it was straight in the first place, but it's just, you know, even more taxed. And, you know, it's like, what do you do, where do you go? And,
yeah.
Just like with, you know, with HIV, it was a great experience because in a seemingly hopeless situation, you know, love is the answer, and we have to be able to find a way to create some kind of energy field around ourselves. You know, and I heard you talk about manifestation, March being a manifestation, and you know, I guess the question is what is it that I want and that we want to manifest in this world? A lot of people, first thing they think about is money. But
yeah.
Was always on the top of my list, peace of mind.
Yeah. And if we could have that peace and that love, man, it would neutralize all the other stuff, you know. And you wouldn't out looking for something to neutralize, you know, like the drugs and you know, all of that, because it would be so peaceful, you know, and loving and nurturing to the human body.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That would be a beautiful thing, and you know, even if you know, just being able to vibrate at a frequency. You know, I think we might. I don't know if the issues that we have on this planet can be healed at the same level. I think that we might need a different perspective, and energetically, that perspective is a higher frequency. And tools, even though we are the tool, and it's quite possible that meditation and proper nutrition would help us to achieve that goal. This type of a tool is a fractal amplifier that, you know, will take the subtle energies, frequencies, and help us to enhance those. And, you know, to the point, it's just like anything else. If you practice it long enough, then you won't really even need the tool. You know, it's just, but I think that it's the only way out is through.
The only way, yes, right.
Yeah.
So Is that that tool that you're speaking of, that the AO scanner and the heightened frequency that it transmits to the human body, is it something where you got to leave? So, like, say you were in your stage back when you weighed 116 pounds. If there was an AO scanner back then, would you have to leave that scanner on your body for a longer period of time, you know, just so that your body would understand that, you know, there was something that was aiding it in getting better, improvement, healing? Or does it only take, you know, like a couple of seconds or, you know, 1 minute of use of that for it to start working with the body?
That's a great question. And it's more of a diagnostic tool. And, yes, it does also optimize frequencies. I wouldn't think of it more. It's not, you know, it's not like a magic. It's not like Star Trek yet, at least not this device. You know, it's more like a tricorder if you want to think about Star Trek. you know, it has, you know, it really does a lot. They continue to improve it. So, you know, there are different, all of the different, there's so many, I can't say all, but there's so many different states of being, you know, illnesses that it can identify and help to optimize. Now, you know, when you're in a crucial situation like I was in, you know, you definitely still need to be, you know, under medical care. There's things you still have to do. That's an emergency situation. It's not. But in the minute, in about, you know, less than 5 minutes, you can definitely get scanned and you can identify what's out of phase, what's out of balance. And
okay.
It can optimize those things. And then after another minute or so of optimization, it can help to start bringing those things into balance. And after continued use, then your body will recognize what's where it's supposed to be, and it can stay there. You know, it's got different modes where it can do a scan of the vitals, scan which performs a complete scan of over like 550 functions of the body.
Uh-huh.
And it can complete that scan in under a minute and then produce data. So it produces data that if the medical profession or, you know, just after studying for a while, you know, you can see. And it's pretty, it's not hard to read. You know, there's a body there and it's, you know, it shows you, it actually will show you the systems of the body. There's also a comprehensive scan mode. And that details like 130 organs and cells and bones and chromosomes through the body. And it gives you a report. And then it gives you a comparison based on what the base is supposed to be. And the one that I like a lot is called, it's a scan. It's called the inner voice. Inner voice, yes.
Okay.
And it takes your voice print. So it takes 10 seconds of your voice, and then it diagnoses that, it analyzes it, I should say, and then it produces tones, because our bodies and our systems are like a musical instrument. And so when we're out of phase or when we're not in tune, then a lot of times what we need is a tune. And that can be achieved through the tones. So when we do the inner voice, it gives you a report, but it also spits out four tones that when listened to, the tones are 3 minutes apiece. And they have, it is a way of using sound to bring our emotions into balance, because a lot of times, of course, it's not physical. Everything happens in the mental and the emotional, the spiritual, the mental, and the emotional before it happens in the body. And
right. The
tones affect those regions. It affects the ethereal, the ephemeral. It works from a higher plane other than the physical, which is actually where the healing happens. And that's why when we say that love heals all, you know, love is a higher frequency, it's a higher vibration. And it's the highest vibration,
mm-hmm,
which is why
mm-hmm.
love heals all. And whenever we reflect that, and this device is not love, but it is reflection of love. And so and they've just been able to really hone it so that you can tune in to different states of being. You know, it can create peace and calm and tranquility. It can also attract prosperity, you know. It can help to, you know, with memory, focus and clarity. You know, and it can also help with creating inner peace.
So what happens if the person can't speak, Reggie? Like, you can't get a read because their health has deteriorated so bad that they've lost their voice. Would the device still be able to raise the person's energy vibration?
You know, it would. That's a great question. I'm not sure if with the inner voice part of it, as far as that's concerned, you might need some type of a sound. It may not necessarily be a voice, but if you could get some kind of a sound. But, you know, there's other aspects of the device that would probably, that would still be helpful.
Oh, okay.
That's a great question. I'm going to have to take that back. Do you know someone that's in a situation like
I
that?
I do, actually, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. And so, well, I could probably call Dr. Mark and ask him. And it's interesting that you would mention both him and Dr. Richardson, and they were both on a health and wellness panel that we did at Hillside last Friday night. It was called the Sankofa Health and Healing Panel, Looking Back to Regain Our Health and Wellness. And you're absolutely correct. Those are two powerhouses of individuals that sincerely care for our community and want to do the best. And they don't come from that pharmaceutical get rich off of prescribing medications, but honestly and sincerely want people to get healed, you know, like where they don't, because
right.
Dr. Richardson's thing is he wants people to get well where they don't need him anymore, you know. And so if they all thought that way and treated people from that perspective, man, the world would be so much better. But I think I will reach out to Dr. Mark about the machine and see what information I can get from him on that. But that was just interesting hearing you talk about how Dr. Richardson was such a huge part of your healing process as well. So,
absolutely.
Dr. Mark
is the one who actually turned me on to this device. And Dr. Richardson was the first doctor that I had coming. When I came to Georgia, he was my doctor. He had been for years.
Oh, wow.
And he was because he was not only fluent in Western medicine, he was open and using Eastern and also, you know, using vitamin therapy, you know.
Yeah.
He was just outside of the box as well. And so we,
right.
he really, he was a partner. He was my medical partner.
I like that.
He allowed me the space to speak for myself. You know, he kept me going for many,
mm-hmm.
many years. And he's the only doctor I know that would do a house call like that.
He's phenomenal to me. And he still does the vitamin infusions.
Yes. As a matter of fact, during COVID, you know, with his wife, Quinny, and I'm sure she was there as well.
Yes, she was.
First thing I did when COVID hit was to go get a vitamin D drip, you know, because B12. So,
yep.
Yes, you know, and it's all been an adventure, not knowing whether or not, I don't know, I'm not board certified, I'm not a doctor. I don't even play one on TV, but I know that I'm, you know, willing to try what makes sense to me in order to be well, stay on the planet, and to be able to be a voice for the voiceless,
mm-hmm.
you know, for people
mm-hmm.
that are stigmatized or that are afraid to share what the situation is, because you know, I've learned. Just in the miracle of recovering from drug addiction, that it is sharing with each other. A problem shared or a situation shared is a situation lessened. You know, it's just an important part of healing.
Yeah, you know, and when you were talking about the substances, the drug substances, and being caught up or addicted to those. I was talking with the doctor the other day. She's going to be a guest on our show next month. At the end of this month, actually. And she was making the reference on the crack babies and, you know, how they had the addictive behaviors when they were born, and that what the medical profession did was to continue with the same substances. And that crack was actually a part of that medication Ritalin that they had so many people of color, children, on, you know, for that ADHD stuff. And, man, that just really kind of threw me into a tailspin because we don't understand. And I was making that statement to go and support what you were saying about most people are not receptive to modalities that they haven't heard about, you know, like the energy healing, the Qigong, the Tai Chi, meditation, you know, yoga and things like that, or simply, you know, changing your eating style. And all of those can benefit and improve a person's overall wellness. And so, you know, the job is still out here for us to do, without a doubt. You know, just keep sharing the knowledge and the information. And when a person can hear, like, your testimony of what you've come through, and because you've almost had 9 lives, you know, and you're still here plugging away, writing new books. And you didn't give us the name of the first book, but all of what, you know, what you're doing is just so, so powerful. And I've never seen you not expanding your knowledge, never, ever. You're always learning something new. Anytime I come around you, and I love that about you, because we always get to exchange our newest knowledge with one another.
Yes. It's you know, I'm extremely blessed to be amongst spirits like yourself, and you know, I guess. Yeah. So we attract those things, and so I'm attracted to like yourself, Dr. Mark, Dr. Richardson, and so many others, so many others. Information just seems to, it comes, and it's the core of the recovery process. Is three things seem to be indispensable. Three things are indispensable, and that's honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. And practicing those principles in all my affairs has benefited me a great deal. And, you know, just wanting to share that with others. Now, I will say, and I don't know if you've had this experience, that, you know, wanting people to get it, wanting people to have it as much as me, or wanting,
yeah.
Knowing, you can see in some people, okay, so maybe maybe if you change your nutrition, the way you eat, that would help a particular situation. Maybe if you tried, this or that, that would help a situation. And people that just being closed-minded to it, that got so frustrating to me that it caused me stress. And that was all a part of what went into me getting sick, too. So, I just absolutely had to find a way to love in a detached manner, to love in a way, because I'm 65 now, and I don't feel it, but I definitely, have watched 65 years worth of chaos and some really diabolical things, in terms of, you say, the system, and the medications that they use, all of the different ways that apparently the system is trying to kill not them, but me and you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right,
so
exactly.
It really is. It's about learning how to navigate the system, and you can't do that. So I'm a revolutionary at heart, but I have no intention on being a martyr. So, what is it that I can actually do? And best I can do is to share my story honestly, to ask the questions so that I can get more information, learn knowledge, and hopefully in asking the questions, people can enlighten themselves, with the answers. Even if we think we might know, it's still worth asking the question.
Right.
Because it could be more to the story. You just never know. But there's
that's
one thing
true.
That does seem constant, and that is there's a lot of things out here. All the way down to the food that doesn't suit me. So you tell somebody. And it's a part of the culture. So you say, hey, man, that fried chicken might not be, that might not be the move. You say, nah. Stop. You ain't going to mess with my chicken now. Don't mess with my chicken.
Exactly.
But they are messing with the chicken.
Yep.
The chicken.
And they are.
And
a lot of people don't get that stuff is being manufactured, created in a laboratory somewhere, How you going to go with them little chickens and get them great big old breasts and thighs that are bigger than most chickens, like the whole chicken. So, yes, it's a little interesting to me. But
the intimidation factor is that if Oprah, as rich as she was, can say something about the beef industry,
yeah,
and catch the kind of pushback that she did.
Right.
It gets back to what level of peace of mind. If we have to still fight for human rights, we have to fight for the right to vote. If we have to still fight for these things, then we have to find a way to find.
Yeah, because it's deep. It's not just like you don't like that television program, so, you get to switch it to a different channel. The food industry, has gotten it where, you know, they have the food pyramid, what you should eat and what you shouldn't eat. They got donuts on the pyramid. They got all these processed foods on the pyramid, and hardly any vegetables, you know, or live living foods for the human body. And it's, you know, and the milk, which is particularly a problem within the people of color community, we can't digest that stuff, and, you know, dairy products. And, you know, I remember my sister, rest her soul, you know, she was like, well, I got to have cheese on everything I eat, you know, and I'd be like, yeah, but that cheese got you going. Well, I don't care. I'm going to eat it, you know, and just, you know, all of the conditioning and, you know, you work too hard. And, you know, now you're at this stage where you shouldn't have to cook, you know, like go get you something from the whatever, you know, and people fall for that stuff, you know, like, you know.
Right,
so it's a mad conditioning program. Go ahead.
No, you're right. Conditioning is a great word. And I'm grateful now looking back for my experience with addictions. Because even though heroin and cocaine might seem more pernicious, sugar and salt is killing more folks.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of other things out here that are knowingly being produced and sold, and so we have become addicted to them, and so it's. Now, I'm grateful to know how to get free.
Mm-hmm.
And now I just want to stay free. Now I just want to stay free. I don't want to be addicted to anything. I was really, I stayed away from medications as far as HIV was concerned because I was looking for something natural. I didn't want to be on another drug. And then you know, when it came around, they told me that I was going to be in the drug. I'd have to be on it for the rest of my life. And so I was like, oh, you know, I already know what it's like. So, and then if I did not have the copay to pay for the medication, the dealer wouldn't sell them to me. He wouldn't, I couldn't, as we say back around the way, I couldn't cop if I didn't have the money.
Exactly.
So
right.
They weren't really concerned about my life.
Right.
They were only concerned about the money.
Yeah.
And it's not like I hadn't seen and still don't continue to see the length that the system will go to maintain it the power. So so we have to really be free thinkers.
Mm-hmm. Because I think that's one of the biggest lies that's ever been told is that when you start taking this medication, you're going to be on it the rest of your life, especially, you know, because I taught over at the Living Few Years, and I witnessed firsthand with my own two eyeballs, people coming off of this medicine that their doctors had told them they were going to be on the rest of their lives. Well, you will if you continue to live the same way that you were when you were diagnosed with whatever issue the doctor told you you had. But if you take, and like you're saying, you know, like doing the spiritual work, doing the physical, the emotional and mental work, and you change what you're feeding into your body has an opportunity. Otherwise, Reggie, you wouldn't have come back when all of your organs was gone and the doctors gave you 3 days to live. There wouldn't have been nothing that Dr. Richardson could have done to help you out.
Well, that is exactly right. I'm grateful for the lifestyle that I created. I'm grateful for the discipline that was created. But I would be remiss if I didn't say that there's HIV in particular needed medication in order to suppress the activity of the virus. After I got sick is when I started taking the medications. And I've been taking them ever since. I'm grateful now that there's new medications and, you know, just like a lot, you know, I'm not promoting anything. I'm just telling my story. But I started taking medication. Now we've got these shots. And so there's, you know, taking the shots once a month, and then probably they're going to twice a month, you know, and who knows? You know, I contend that there is a cure, and that, you know, and then we will find a cure, and I'm planning on sticking around for it. I plan on actually sticking around until I'm 200. So
All right.
This is just one of them things. So I'm not trying to
You're only one third way through, huh?
Exactly. Well, who's kept? Yeah.
Well,
you guys, we have about
15 minutes left. So if you have a question that you would like to ask Reggie, our call-in number is 516-531-9819. Just push 1 on your dial to let us know you want to speak live with us. I know that you're getting all of this information down. Reggie, what I would like for you to do while we're waiting is to give us the name of both of your books and then contact information. I know you gave us your Facebook group, but, you know, give us some contact information and the name of both of your books, please.
Sure. Thank you. So my first book was Surrender to Heal, 7 Ways to Rise Above the Battlefields of Life. And my latest book is Resurrection, Participate in Your Own Salvation or Be Complicit in Your Own Demise. They're both available on Amazon, Kindle, Barnes & Noble. Actually, Resurrection is now available as an audiobook on Audible.
Okay.
And you can go to my website, ReggieSmith770.com, to find out more about the books and about me. Now, my wife and I, we've created the foundation, the Reginald and Dion Smith Foundation, and the website for that is the RDSF.org.
RDSF,
like the Reginald and Dion Smith, R, Reginald, D, Dion, S, Smith, F, Foundation. .org That's the organizational website. But our community, which is what we're really excited about, because it's a place where, you know, recovered people, you know, we've had a lot of health challenges, and we're right there in the virtual world, which it seems kind of prescient. You know, for a long time I tried to get people to come online and do things in the digital world, virtual world. They were hesitant to do that because they don't have to do it. But the COVID forced everybody to rethink the situation. Now we're really growing our community in a virtual community. It's a private social virtual community. And so we're focused on wellness, awareness, and recovery. And that, right now, we've got about 230 members. And we're doing workouts in the morning. We've got yoga. We're talking about how we are eating. And we're basically encouraging and uplifting each other and holding each other accountable to our goals. Yeah. And so that's what we're really excited about. You can go to VRDSF.com. It's the same as the organization, it's .com. And come on and join us. You know, my wife Dion is really excited about the workout. It's a low-impact 30-minute workout at 9 a.m. on Monday, Tuesdays, Thursdays and Fridays, and we are having fun. I'm getting in shape. I'm trying to get in softball shape. I'm going to start playing softball again this year. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Look at you.
Yeah. You know, we got we have 8 grandchildren. Our oldest just started at Auburn University. And,
congratulations!
Thank you. You know, incarcerated children. We're dealing with all varying kinds of health challenges. So, people are aging. And so we're more motivated to really want to do something to stay healthy. Because what I have found through that experience is that you can't leave the planet until it's your time.
There you go.
So if you're going to be here, if we're going to be here, you might as well be well.
And if
you want to be well, then we should be participating in our own wellness. Because if you're not, you're most certainly complicit in your own demise. And you don't want to be walking around here hurting and feeling bad, when we can do something about it.
So that's why
we love you, Sandy, because you are.
Well, thank you.
You are just a bright light, not just a light. You are a bright light in our community and in the world, and I'm so blessed by you. I'm making my business to stop by the center where you're doing the wonderful things with Reiki and so much more.
You will love it, I swear. The energy, it gets you as soon as you walk through the doors. And that's one of the facets that you can't really pull, because it's a feeling. You feel it as soon as you cross over the threshold. You immediately feel it, and you know that you've entered a place of healing, you know, for your whole self. And so anytime I'm asked to do a testimonial or, you know, like an intro, trying to pique somebody's interest to come, I always tell them, like, you've got to, just come and walk through the door. You'll feel it. Nobody will have to tell you anything more about it, you know. So.
Yeah.
But we haven't got that. We still are wrestling, understanding that we're energy, because we think that this physical body is all that there is, and, you know, you've got to take care of it. And so if they give you the pills and like that, is supposed to work. I'm not anti-pill. I'm just saying that I believe the Creator, when the Creator went into the process of creating the herbs and the fruits on the trees and those type of deals before creating the human, that was all for us to maintain these body temples of ours. And so if what I believe is the truth, then perhaps we don't need those extra chemicals, because all medicines are based in a plant. Some type of plant is where it starts from, but then they add all that other stuff in it too, you know. So
Right. I agree wholeheartedly. Yeah. And I've had that experience through the experiment, because long before the medications, when a lot of my friends and family died, I was practicing using herbs and changing nutrition and meditation and changing, you know, and all of those things. And they absolutely worked. They worked. That's all I can say. And the medications actually can make us kind of lazy. It could make us lazy. It can be very self-defeating. So it takes a level of discipline under all circumstances and a thirst for knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
We have
mm-hmm.
to be, and the most important thing, if know thyself, enter thine own self, be true.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Those things, those are the spiritual principles to live by. And without that, then it's just all of the other things. There are situations and consequences.
Yeah. And, you know, Reggie, you were talking about the addictions, the heavier drugs, the illegal drugs, and the ones that you can, you know, buy in the store. But so I had some dental work I started in December. I waited too late to, you know, I was trying to get it, you know, like back to back, so all the dental work would be covered, you know, under the insurance. But anyway, so I had to see the periodontist because, you know, I had waited too long and hadn't been going regularly, blah-de-blah-de-blah. And when he was in my mouth, he's like, do you eat mints or breath mints or any type of mint? And I was like, you know what, Doc? I said, I just stopped eating it because I realized that was nothing but sugar. And so just to add support to what you were saying, you know, that sugar, it had become so addictive. Like, we were first providing it for our customers that came in, you know, like, have a mint, because we weren't thinking about the sugar in it. And I would start taking them, you know, and then I start buying the bags to replace what I had eaten. So, and Reggie, I tell you, it did not take long before, you know, I was driving around with a bag in my car, always open. It was crazy.
Right, I'm not on them anymore.
I broke that addiction. But it's the little mindless things. You know, you were talking about that earlier.
Yes, that's absolutely right. And, you know, we just need to be paying attention, you know, and they sneaking on us, you know, even now. So I know that you are on this, so I've been living the vegan lifestyle, and everybody looked at me like I had two heads because everybody was eating meat. And now it's a plant-based this and plant-based that. I'm glad that people have become conscious, but I knew that once everybody else started doing it, that they were polluted, because you can't, the system won't allow too many people to escape. So now, the danger now, is, as I'm finding out, is the salt, the sodium in it, you know. And I'm you know, I'm glad, because there's so many meat substitutes and things that I can eat to remind me of, not that I'm, I don't really even, you know, it's not about reminding me about eating meat, but it's just having variations and all of that. And now we got to kind of, you know, I got to watch it because I got high blood pressure. I'm a black man living in America. I have high blood pressure, and now I have to be careful about eating the plant-based substitutes because they have inordinate amounts of sodium in them. So,
oh, that's awful.
It's just diabolical.
But, I tell you, you got to be smart all the time. You can't take a break from being smart.
But yeah, and it's you know, it's a challenge. But I'm grateful. I'm grateful. Ever so grateful. You know, I'm still here on the planet, and has love in my life, and a peace of mind, and a self-awareness, and an opportunity to share with others, and that's it. I'm good with that.
Yeah, that's the joy. That's the peace you were talking about earlier. You know, teach and detach, because it's not our responsibility to change a person. It's only our responsibility to teach what we've, you know, have learned, and mostly through our personal lives, you know, trials and tribulations.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. So, all right,
you
guys, we just got a couple minutes left. Say it again.
I was gonna say when you asked me and you told me it was going to be 90 minutes, I didn't think that I had 90 minutes in me, but I should have known better, because whenever we get together, we just start chopping it up.
I know, but it happens all the time. It's always so funny to me. That's why I was just like, oh, don't worry, we'll work it out, right? So I just want to make sure that we have the information out to the people that are listening either tonight or in the. I would like to encourage you to support Reggie by buying one or both of his books. They're available on Amazon. I don't have all of the name, but I can give you enough of it. The first one is called Surrender to Health, or was
heal.
It Surrender to
Surrender
Healing?
To heal. Yes.
To heal.
Surrender to heal, yeah. Yes.
And it was seven something, right? Seven steps or something like that?
Right. Seven ways to rise above the battlefields of life.
Seven ways. Yes. So take keywords, you guys, and remember, Reginald Scott. I mean, Smith, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And then his second book, mm-hmm. which is also available on Audible, which, of course, you know, reads to you, is Resurrection, Participate in Your
yes.
Own
Salvation or Be Complicit in Your Own Demise.
Mm-hmm. Ah, that's a heavy title right there, man. And so you can go to Amazon or Audible, or you can go to ReggieSmith770.com, GGIESmith770.com, or you can do the foundation, which is R like in Reggie, D like in Dion, S like in Smith, F like in foundation.org. Or you can also
right. it's
go
actually,
on.
It's actually THEVRDSF.org.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad I said it then.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. And so is that on the .com as well?
It is, yes. VRDSF.com is the community.
That's where you get the encouragement and the exercise and the support and a team that's holding you accountable to your own wellness. I love it. I love it. Oh, man, we did it. We did it.
Yes.
That is
yes.
our show for this evening. And I'm not sure if I mentioned, but this month we're concentrating and having different discussions around the nervous system. And so, you know what? So if people are interested in the AO scanner, they would go on your website, the ReggieSmith770, to get in more information or to buy one, or I didn't ask you about that. I apologize.
As do I. They can email me at ReggieSmith770@gmail.com.
Okay, that's ReggieSmith770@gmail.com for additional information or to buy yourself a unit. And thank you again,
yeah.
Mr. Smith. It's been such a pleasure, yeah. as it always is. And I told you I was waiting because I knew you had just a boatload of information for us. And I appreciate you always, always for staying on the battlefield and always coming prepared with all the tools that you need.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Sandy.
Yes,
thank you for
yes.
the opportunity, and thank you for all that you are being in the universe. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you, too. Thank you. Thank you. So that is it for us, and we will have another guest next week that will be discussing more on the nervous system. You're going to learn so much this month, and I'm so proud to be able to bring this diversity of speakers to you. So I am Sandy Rogers, and I thank you for listening, for participating, and remember, it's all about life, it's all about love, and it's all about wellness. We'll see you next week. Stay safe and stay blessed. Love you guys.
Bye.